With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Incredible. Manchester City win the title. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 12th of May. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
They've done it. They've got it over the line. Jim Campbell, has he finally convinced you?
Pep.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've always been convinced by Pep.
Right.
Big fan. Huge fan.
So you just hate people who haven't got any hair?
I've got no problem with anybody that's not got any hair. Some of my best friends have no hair. In fact, one of them messaged me while he was half asleep the other day, taking me to task for using the term bald fraud too much, essentially. And then he woke up. He's like, yeah, sorry about that.
He sleep messaged
you. Yeah, really weird. Hello. Hello, Paddy.
Was it a voice note or was
no,
it?
No, it was just, he wrote it out, which is all the more.
That's really impressive,
weird,
isn't it?
Weird, isn't it? Yeah. It's strange.
Has he got any other skills?
He talks in his sleep, like notoriously, so maybe he does a lot more in his sleep.
Oh, was it a voice note then?
No. He clearly just does things, communicates in his sleep.
Okay.
Very weird. But yeah, I should clarify, I don't actually think Pep Guardiola is a bald fraud.
What,
I think it's really funny that people say that so often. He's quite good, isn't he?
But yes, Manchester City have won the Premier League title for the third time in five seasons under the bald fraud Pep Guardiola, with three games to spare after Manchester United lost to Leicester 2-1 last night at Old Trafford. That's the ninth domestic title of Pep's career.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's pretty brilliant for fans of the Abu Dhabi United Group for Development and Investment as well. I'm sure.
Oh, not today, Campbell.
Those who've been supporting them since they were children will be delighted. They're around the stadium letting off the baby blue flares. I don't know where you get those. I'm just impressed.
We've already seen that in 2019 with that memorable promotional video, haven't we?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. which sort of, you know, you could imagine the focus group for it. Let's get loads of working class looking extras. Maybe do it in a street that looks a little bit like Coronation Street. I think there are some United fans on Coronation Street. That doesn't matter. Let's carry on.
They are United. They're Abu Dhabi United Group for Development and Investment.
Oh yeah, there's only one United.
Exactly,
as the song goes.
Keeping it kind to City for one day. Come on, Brassel. Let's talk about beautiful football. You like that?
Yes, I do. And I think when you
and foreign
consider,
things.
When you consider where they started in that point of the season, I'm sorry to do this, Mace, that point of the season where
the glorious victory by Tottenham,
where Jose was a genius
on
and
my
Spurs
birthday
were top.
I remember it well.
Really?
So yeah, the last nice thing Spurs did for me.
Yeah, and at that point City were bottom half of the table, They needed a complete refit of the squad. And so I realise it's a weird season. And I guess a lot of people will say this is a predictable thing to have happened in what is generally quite a weird season. It's the way of the Premier League finding its logic. But I do think you have to say it's an incredible achievement to find the right recipe when it looked like the ingredients simply weren't there when you go back that part earlier in the season. Whereas now, if you looked at Manchester City and you said, what do they need to do for next season? I don't want to jump the gun too much and gloss over what they've done this season. But you really wouldn't think about changing that much.
No.
Whereas, you know, I realise it's difficult to analyse stuff because there's so much football at the moment. Yeah. And it really affects, I think, people's power, people's capacity to analyse. But when you bear in mind, at that point, it's like, right, rip it all up and start again. Which was like, what, 5 months ago?
Well, I remember
it's incredible what they've done. And I remember what Guardiola has done.
The end of the previous season, Brass, you were talking about how they needed a complete defensive refit. And effectively what they needed was
one
Ruben
player
Dias.
To refit the rest of the defence.
Amazing. And you know, the Guardian did their numbers on out of 10 for each of the players. And John Stones got 9 for his performance this season. I'm not saying he was the one who was responsible for the defensive refit.
Well, he owes 4.5 of those to Ruben Dias. let's be clear on that.
But that's a fair point though, isn't it? Because that's part, if you get in a character like that, that can just effectively control the defence, lead the defence and take responsibility for it, they do make the players around them better. So, you know, it's not an entirely moot point, is it? Stones is far better for having Dias in there with him. And it's the point you made earlier is right as well, Andy. It's like City have turned it around so emphatically, you forget they even did turn it around. You know, it feels like they've just kind of dominated the season, but you know, they were written off at point. They motored into that kind of winning streak where they were just like, right, let's be serious, let's remember who we are, let's remember what we can do and what we're about. And they've just, you know, they've got the reward at the end. And it's a weird season, isn't it? And obviously, you know, congratulations to them, but it does feel apt that it was won by the failing of the team in second place rather than on the pitch with them. It just seems so kind of like indicative of this kind of fairly hollow season, doesn't it?
Well, to be fair, that happened last season.
Oh, absolutely,
well.
Yeah. Criticism of anybody, but it just feels, you know.
Yeah, Bayern won it in the changing room before they got their training kit on at the weekend. that's a different thing.
So efficient.
Like, right, lads, we're psyched to win. Maybe not. Maybe we'll have another espresso before we get changed. Maybe.
I mean, in the long term, does it really matter? Because the thing that's glorious about seeing a team win it on the pitch is the fans going absolutely berserk.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you might as well just have your videos of people popping corks or whatever it is they do, footballers I mean, to celebrate what's happened. And yeah, also around that time was the kind of famous Fernandinho speech where he sort of acted as a captain and really like brought the team together and said like, there are standards we have to uphold. And the idea is that he passed that on from Pep Guardiola perhaps, but it's clear that Guardiola has perhaps mastered delegation more in his than he had done in previous seasons.
Well, yeah, I remember with Fernandinho when he was at Shakhtar, people always used to say, you speak to people around the club and they're like, he's the dad of the dressing room.
Right.
He was the Brazilian who learned Russian so he could be that bridge between the board and the dressing room.
Oh.
And he's just got that thing about it. But what I find interesting, because at some point they're going to have to replace him, which is going to be difficult. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But When you talked about Ruben Dias sorting out the defence and leading the defence, it's not just that. He has got a massive neon sign over his head saying next City captain that won't stop following him around. And I was talking to someone about this the other day. I thought what was really indicative in the second leg against Paris Saint-Germain, when PSG were totally losing their shit in that second half and Zinchenko was in danger of getting pulled into it.
Yes.
You know, he was tense from the penalty that got given against him that wasn't a penalty at the beginning, and then he got really narky in the second half, and Fernandinho stepped across, didn't he, and was like shouting in his face and giving him a proper you know, dad, you're showing this family up sort of business, and
I will ground you.
You are banned from your Switch for the next week if you don't wind it in now. I'm still really good at delivering that line. Anyway,
I think the interesting
thing there, talking of intimidation, was after that, and he still wasn't really calming down Zinchenko, Ruben Dias was there, like maybe like 6 foot away, and he just looked at him. He didn't appear to raise his voice. He didn't even raise his eyebrows. And this is a guy who's been captain of every team, like since he was in the Benfica Academy. And someone who's got a real presence about him if you speak to him. And it amazed me how, like, I don't even have to shout at you to get you to do what I want. That's how much of a leader I am.
Mm.
Yeah, that's cool to see. Mm. I think the other interesting thing about the kind of leadership and the makeup of this City squad as well, and the way it's all pulled together, is the fact that Guardiola seems to have managed to achieve that incredible feat that so many managers don't successfully do, of taking people in and out of the squad. And still, yes, it's been clear that, for example, Sterling's not been particularly happy to be usurped, but they're still, broadly speaking, Benjamin Mondi, for example, pulling in the same direction.
Mm.
Despite not necessarily getting the game time in some cases that they might want to. Aymeric Laporte as well, yeah. Spaniard.
But that, that is the thing. I think he prefers Basque, actually. But I think the thing is, if you're Guardiola, presumably you're telling Sterling, this is just the start of the journey. You know, the next season can be more yours. And, you know, you'd be saying the same to Laporte. I don't think you'd be saying the same to Mendy, because presumably you'd love to get rid of him, but he's absolutely ungettable of because of his contract. But that's another story.
And also, but he can act more as like a cheerleader. I remember as well seeing like Claudio Bravo, for example, being supportive.
You're saying 50 million David May? Is that what you're saying? I suppose that's what David May would cost in this day.
You're right,
isn't
it's
it?
A good point, but you want to assimilate, don't you?
Yeah.
If you have that money spent, then you have
you've
to
spent
the rest
it.
Of it.
You've essentially spent it already.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah. But you do feel that this is just the start of something for City. I mean, are there things they can improve? I mean, yeah, they will eventually need to find that Fernandinho replacement, and really they need to do that now, don't they? They need to have someone who can, because he can't play like 45 games a season anymore. It's just not possible. They need that centre forward. I still think that Haaland to City in 2022 makes good sense. So I guess the question is, do you get a little bit more out of Raheem Sterling, Gabriel Jesus in the middle? I wonder if just for now you replace Sergio Aguero with kind of an Edinson Cavani figure, really. Like someone, not actual Edinson Cavani, obviously that's not possible, although that would be hilarious. Someone who can contribute and step in, doesn't have to play every week, is of a really high level, but I'm trying to talk myself into, I'm waiting for someone to come in my head. Diego Costa won't go away, even though I know it's like completely wrong in every sense.
I know we've said that Pep Guardiola's mastered man management and turned it into a really beautiful fine art, but I'm not sure that Costa is the boy for this.
Well, he's absolutely not, which is why I want it to happen.
You want him in there, agent of chaos.
City have not really been shy in coming forward for big transfers in the past, have they? So,
but not monster transfers though. They're like 50, 60 million transfers.
True.
They're not like
on defense.
Neymar's.
True, but I mean, you know, a monster transfer now is very different from a monster transfer when they signed Aguero, for example, which you know, is a lot closer to what we're talking about now. Do you think they would wait to 2022? Do you think they might not go for it now? Because, I mean,
but the amount of money it would take to spring Haaland, I'm presuming here that Dortmund, having got back in the top four, are going to qualify for the Champions League. It's going to be so much. You know, you would end up spending probably three and a half times on him this summer than you would when you've got that pre-agreed release clause that no one has denied the existence of next summer. And that is a much more City transfer to pay a lot, but not a Neymar and Mbappe amount and just blow tons on the wages. That's the way that City do it.
And he doesn't need a centre-forward anyway, so.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Well, this season's evidence of that.
The whole point is they've shared the goals around.
Maybe Fernandinho will play up there for his swan song.
Yeah, why not?
It feels like
next season's Gündoğan.
Yeah,
yes. I like it.
Gündoğan as well. We haven't even really talked about Phil Foden as well, who is, of course, let's not forget, only 20, DS 23. So when you talk about building towards the future, this seems like a City team that will be better next season, Jim?
Potentially, yeah. Very, very much so, because they, I feel like they've just got that fear factor back, haven't they? That's, you know, the season where they got a million points or wherever it was, where they just looked like a machine almost, just looked frightening to play. Not quite at that level, I don't think, but obviously the circumstances are a bit strange, and you do have this issue with replacing Fernandinho and Aguero, but at the same time, you probably look at them as favourites next season, wouldn't you? They've set the standard to beat.
Surely they're favourites next season by a mile.
Yeah, they have to be. They have to be. Yeah.
I mean, it's not actually that romantic, is it? You know, because the whole thing is about how, if you're going to just predict the outcomes of a Premier League season, the people who pay the most in wage bills are the ones who do better. It's a almost a direct correlation, generally speaking. Sorry, football fans, it's all been predetermined. But even still, we can still enjoy the football and we can still be impressed by what Pep Guardiola and these incredible players have managed to achieve. He said, Guardiola, that this is the hardest title they've won in a season, obviously, like no other, and called his players special. The way they've come through the season. And of course, we talk about that team bonding. They haven't even really been able to bond as a team in the same way as they normally would. You know, you shower at home, you come in, you take your food off somewhere, you sit alone. So to create that in the way that he has done has been incredibly impressive. And of course, just before that turning point, Guardiola signed that 2-year contract, didn't he?
Yeah.
And at that stage, as you've referred to already, Brass, people were questioning whether the old...
Could they make the top four?
Yeah. Mm. Could the old Guardiola intensity have like tied them all out?
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Well, it's impressive as well, isn't it? Because we've seen so many times, it's very hard to do that. It's very hard to have
rebuild a second wave within
one manager. And
that's why we're getting into Sir Alex Ferguson's
Exactly. That's why people are talking about it. Yeah. Robbie Savage said, didn't he, that he's the best manager the Premier League's ever had. And a lot of people take the piss out of him about that. But I don't think it's an outrageous conversation to have. Obviously, Alex Ferguson straddled generations.
I think you can't
really compare him to anyone. But
I think he was saying, to be fair to Robbie Savage, which is not a phrase I often would expect to use. I think he was saying in this particular moment, in this particular season, what he has done.
Yeah, Alex Ferguson hasn't done anything.
It's true. He's not even working. I can't even get a job, Ferguson.
He's working on a documentary.
Yeah, and that looks incredible, doesn't it?
And he's seen
the trailer.
He's got a new pair of pundit shoes as well. Did you see him going into the PSG hotel the other day?
No.
With those
white ones.
Black and white shoes.
Oh, bless him.
He's clearly building up to something. He's plotting something. It's Sir Alex.
So, yeah, City going to celebrate at the Etihad instead of an open-top bus parade. I guess this is just to do with the COVID thing.
Yeah.
Just
cold beer storage, surely.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point. Presumably that is what they're taking into account.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that the inside track you just gave us? Possibly they should take a leaf out of Campbell Leeuwarden. Am I pronouncing that anywhere right, gang?
You could get away with just saying Cambuur.
Cambuur, yes. That's how I tend to call them. Out of their book, they clinched the Dutch second tier title last week. Some of the squad did a helicopter ride over the city. With fans letting off more of these yellow and blue flares, Jim. Perhaps they're easier to get hold of than we initially imagined.
Yeah, maybe.
Defender Calvin McIntosh had the most Dutch response to it ever. He said, "Why not? I'm not afraid of flying or anything, but sitting in a helicopter is not really necessary for me. I think it is too much, to be honest. I thought it would be a military helicopter, but it looks somewhat old-fashioned."
But if it's a military helicopter, surely it would look old-fashioned. I'm thinking like the scene in Platoon where Willem Dafoe gets left behind. You know?
I'm thinking like
you don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
We like you, so we're smiling.
Shame on you for not watching that film.
Is it worth it? Another one for my list?
It's really worth it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
An alternative celebration would be the thing with did you see the tractor guard of honour?
Yes, I did.
Is it still a corridor of applause of its tractors?
No, I don't think it is.
Okay. No, because it was the fans, wasn't it? Giving them a sort of what's the word?
Corridor of applause?
No, because that's the opposite of it. Corridor of applause is the opposite team, isn't it? Like acknowledging the champions. But these
tractors were
fans of the gruff shop.
Yeah,
that were
they
just
they
giving them a like.
They hadn't won it. It was like encouragement, wasn't it? It was like, go do it, boys.
Like a parade, almost.
So it's like a because if they win tonight, the grass up, they go into the Eredivisie, right?
Yeah. Are you trying to avoid saying that's correct, Kate? But yeah. Are we trying to avoid saying monster truck rally here?
I wish that'd be great. in fact, instead of an open top bus parade, fans teams should have a monster truck parade.
Well, look, I know the Dutch player, are very laissez-faire or have like that reputation anyway, but they shouldn't be doing that on a public road.
If you've got as much money as City, why can't each player not have their own personalised monster truck and just drive around Manchester City Centre going, hey?
I think that is precisely what they're trying
like Liam Gallagher.
Trying to not encourage it, right?
I love that accent.
Way.
I enjoyed that.
Well, Ajax have melted their trophy into 42,000 championship stars, apparently, to share with the season ticket holders.
I
mean, you really have to have won like 34 titles to be doing that, don't you?
To melt one. Yeah. Leicester aren't melting theirs down anytime soon,
no
are they? Can you imagine that? God, that would really motivate everyone else in the league the next season. They melted the fucking title. Like, we've got to get this off them.
It beats Sergio Ramos dropping it off the top of the bus, I suppose.
Oh,
it?
No. Yeah. Sergio Ramos. Another one going to PSG, I hear.
Yeah, Pochettino was very effusive on that the other day.
I didn't see it.
He's another club's player. Move on.
Classic high quality. Also in winning titles news, Sporting Lisbon completed the championship.
Yeah.
Just Sporting, isn't it, actually? It's just Sporting.
To those in the know.
Yes.
Well, it's not my club. It's like, or I can actually, so maybe
insult,
I should be a Glory fan.
Insult them as much as you like.
Sporting, do your voice. anyway, either way, those lads, they won for the first time in 19 years, conceding 15 in 32 games. Not bad.
For the first time since Cristiano Ronaldo was a B player there. Oof. And Phil Babb was in the team.
Phil Babb.
So it was a while back. But there were loads of people outside the Al Ladd last night. And the police came and cleared them off in a very heavy-handed way.
Oh.
But all over Lisbon, they were letting off fireworks and all that sort of jazz. So people enjoying it from indoors too.
Absolute boom time for the firework industry, isn't it? You forget about it. They have a little renaissance in May when all the titles start to come in.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Yeah, and I suppose with everyone being indoors, Balotelli's going, hey, you're not calling me mental now, are you?
You can't do it.
I was right all along.
You shouldn't do it through a window or anything, should you? You should always let your firework outdoors. You couldn't like funnel it out.
Are you asking?
Yes. I can't say I let off that many.
You shouldn't let off fireworks indoors.
But you can like.
I'm surprised we're having to have this conversation.
A champagne cork out of your window.
What if you've got a balcony or a flat roof? That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was imagining.
And once it's out of your house, it's not your responsibility anymore. If it's a bus or a car or.
See, look, this
a
is the responsible attitude, Jim. So yeah, congratulations, City. They win the title thanks to a Manchester United side that made 10 changes. I think it's fair to say the only returning starter was Mason Greenwood, who scored. But yeah, they were beaten by Leicester 2-1. And in other City news, I guess Leicester look like back on for Champions League football.
I said they might have messed it up, but I think
they wanted to prove you wrong, Jim.
I hope they have as well. I'd love to see them finish in the Champions League positions because they're the most interesting team in the league every single year. But yeah, they were great, weren't they? It was a very
that Luke Thomas goal was unreal.
Oh, absolutely brilliant,
amazing.
Oh. 19-year-old Luke Thomas, and then afterwards referenced the stanchion, guys. I don't know if you heard him. He said it was always great to get a goal that ends up in the stanchion.
Yeah.
You don't hear many 19-year-olds saying that word, do you?
No, you don't.
No. I mean,
big fan of Scottish football in the 80s, perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, I thought the stanchion was part of the goal, the goal frame, not the bit of net.
I thought it was that sticky out bit. I don't know now. Now I'm confused.
In Portuguese, they say, onde dorme a cortuja. It's where the owl sleeps.
Oh.
That's what they say.
The owl sleeps in the net.
Stupid
owls sleeping in a football net.
Dumb place to sleep.
Goals scored at them. They're fucking thickos.
Told you, didn't I? The evidence is stacking up. Dimwit de woo. Idiots.
Like a good EFL chairman, really, an owl.
Yeah. More on that later.
Yeah, it's a good one as well. Leicester City, they've got their FA Cup final on Saturday against Chelsea. Johnny Evans may play. He was sitting on the sidelines watching on as Leicester won 2-1. Good win for them. Into the Champions League they go, and into the break we go.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify.
Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
Jim recently joined Luke on the Luke and Pete Show to discuss the do's and don'ts of riding roller coasters.
So why are we talking about him today?
We're talking about him because he once killed a goose with his face on a roller coaster.
And over at Self Care Club, Lauren and Nicole are talking about taking care of yourself while supporting others for Mental Health Awareness Week.
I also think that this Mental Health Awareness Week is beautifully timed because we are slowly coming out of lockdown. Everyone is feeling a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Where should I be? What do I want? What do I not want? All those questions.
Yeah.
So
it's an unsettled feeling, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So I think the timing of this week is absolutely imperative.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Hi, I'm Frank LeBeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble.
Yeah.
Frank the Beef.
Famously featured on a Luke's game recently. Did we do well on him?
Was he?
I think so. I mean, I don't think he turned up in person, Brass. It's just that you've got to name the... Anyway, welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Andy and Jim. Now it's time for a few of these.
If you got a new nickname for Pete, or you're a big fan of Vish, if you want Jules to swear at you, or you think Jim's a dish, if you like Kate's pop culture references, or got a Sven story for Speller, if you disagree with Luke, or think that Andy's far too clever, email show at footballramble.com. Go ahead and email show at footballramble.com.
Woo!
I've even started playing air piano to that. The only other air piano I play is to Trans Europe Express by Kraftwerk. So, you know, it's a compliment.
Thanks, Toby Elliott. You don't fancy popping in and giving us a live.
Live, that'd be great. Just permanently in the corner.
I feel like there's a division in the group between those who prefer the more laid back jingle and those who go for the kind of that like rock stuff.
That rock stuff.
What side do you,
you
sit?
Know, what I'd really like is an 80s computer theme tune type
yeah.
one. Right. You know, do you remember? Well, you won't remember because you're younger than me. But when there was like a Ghostbusters game where it was like a really, it sounded like someone pushing an organ up a hill. So it was like, dee, 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 dee,
like a sort of MIDI thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, we are lacking a sort of electronic kind of vibe generally. So yes. Maybe that we can throw that out there to you, genuinely incredible music makers.
Genuinely incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, so appreciate it. Keep them coming. Thank you
Why
very
have
much.
You not done one on the violin?
Yeah, I haven't been bullied enough, I think.
Can that be true?
It's the first time you've complained about that.
Anyway, should we have an email?
Yeah.
Because Joe Horsey's been in touch. And he says, as a long-suffering Sheffield Wednesday fan, I appreciated the sympathy from you folks in a recent episode. Having enjoyed the Rambles caricatures of Mike Ashley, Big Sam and other such questionable characters, I thought I should enlighten you about Wednesday's own farcical chairman, the clown at the centre of the circus, if you will. Straight away, that's not ideal, is it? You want a ringmaster running the circus.
Correct. That's what I was thinking. Be like if you had a lion running the
exactly.
show. You don't need
so,
that.
This is a disaster straight away. So a lot of the talk about Wednesday has mentioned the dodgy ownership of Mr. Chanziri changing a much-loved club crest. That's annoying straight away, isn't it? Player wages going unpaid, selling a stadium to yourself, all that fun stuff. But it's really the smaller details that bring this caricature to life. For starters, Chanziri's own sponsors for the club have included D Taxis, a taxi company which The Guardian reported at the time had never transported a single customer, and Elevate Energy Drink, a company which had never produced a single beverage when it was announced.
Should be pointed out that the 8 is the numeral,
yes.
Just so you get the
yeah,
full
picture. I tried to make that clear, but it's very difficult. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, I think people need to be disciplined for text speaking, like, yeah. You know, general life, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's well known among Wednesday fans that imminent signings can be predicted by looking at the Instagram page of the chairman's son for players he's recently followed. I guess for the son of a multimillionaire, Football Manager isn't enough and only playing real life as your own personal video game will do. The clues to the calamity were there from the beginning, though. Some people even said that Chanziri requested that the river, which runs past Hillsborough, be slowed down. I heard someone recently say no sensible business person would buy a football club, and now everything with Chanziri is starting to make more sense. And that's true, isn't it? And it really goes to show you what a farce some of this stuff is, you know, when you don't have an effective fit and proper person's test. Because yeah. it's absurd. It's slowing the river down. I mean, his
is
own name was...
I don't understand.
I mean, I don't know.
You get the thing about
on,
rivers,
like,
right? They run it... Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's more the other stuff. I just have every sympathy, Joe, although I do look forward to Sheffield Wednesday visiting Plough Lane next season, even if they don't.
Yes.
The thing is, I think it tells you about, as Joe says, the amount of genuinely terrible owners at massive clubs that there are and have been. Because if you look at the teams that, which from my perspective, I'm extraordinarily excited about playing in a league context next season. Look at Sunderland, might stay down. Then you've got Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich. There are some absolutely enormous clubs in that division.
Mm.
And yeah, just goes to show.
Yeah, we're sorry about, you know, you having to live through all of this, Joe. And thanks so much for writing in to talk to us about the madness that's been going on at Sheffield Wednesday. Email, keep them coming in, email show@footballramble.com, tweet at Football Ramble. But we wanted to talk a bit more about... clubs struggling, actually, in the context of Derby County, because the EFL have just won part of an appeal to fine Derby in breach of financial fair play rules. You know, we talk there about the kind of selling the stadium to the owner gag, the little sneaky thing that people pull off to try and...
It's common now, isn't it?
It's common, right, yeah. To try and move around financial fair play. In Derby's situation, that was fine for them, apparently. But the way that they use amortization has been found to be not legitimate. Effectively, it's a way of recognising revenue, everybody. For the accountants among us, accountants among you, write in. And the way that Derby have been doing it is not the same way as every single other football club in the league, as in the whole of the football league, as I understand it. So right. Anyway,
they've just got a new calculator. That's all it is.
Do you think it is?
Yeah,
with all the special extra buttons?
Exactly.
Right. Okay. That makes more sense. So you know, they've just been trying to do it in a more of a wacky way, and we and Wickham are considering legal action separately. This is to have Derby relegated instead of them. Of course, Macclesfield relegated last season after a retrospective points deduction, and this all comes within the context of the fact that they're trying to sell the club to a man who is a fantasist.
Yeah,
apparently so. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with advertising your home on TikTok or maybe that's a slight misrepresentation of what happened,
Jim. If it is your home, then that's probably fine, isn't it?
Hey, advertise away.
So, yeah, if anyone missed this, if anyone for whatever reason doesn't want to, you know, open up the window to hell that is Twitter and look at it every day.
Eric Alonso is Eric the dude. So he's 29. Yeah. I don't think this is a real thing either way. Separately, this isn't a real thing, but I think him buying the club is not a real thing as far as everything I've read and everyone I've spoken to. He's clearly not in a position to actually buy this club. But the fact is, Eric Alonso has been having a bit of a wacky time on TikTok.
Being an internet Wally, because he basically posted a video of what he purported was his house, which was this amazing looking mansion. Mm. But someone spotted that it was from a really big video doing the rounds on TikTok of just someone else showing a big house. He said it was in Marbella. I think it turns out it was actually in LA, something like that. And then he deleted his Twitter account. So...
It went
around
TikTok with the same music.
Yeah,
he didn't even bother to strip off the music.
No.
And someone, you know, one of these great internet warriors had contacted the estate agent who'd originally listed it, and apparently it's still on the market.
What a great advertiser for that place.
Yeah, but it's like £66 million, I think. So if we have got any listeners who want to drop 66 mil on a property...
So are we suggesting that the problem is that he can't afford to buy both the house that he claims is his and Derby County? I mean, that's the root of the problem, isn't it?
Or maybe he'll just go around saying that he has bought Derby County.
Yeah, yeah.
Show highlights from the internet. Yeah, that's my team, that is. It's not. That's just the Sky Sports website.
By the way, the connection is, or a specific connection to what we were just talking about with Sheffield Wednesday, Alonso had been an advisor to Chancery until the pair fell out before Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
How do these people make so much money?
Well, in his case, I don't, like buffoons. I don't think he does have that much money. I think that's the issue. This reminds me a little bit of there was a kid at my school who claimed when we were about 13, 14, he played his dad a tape of The Cure, and he's like, yeah, that's a demo from me and my band, could you like lend me some money for some kit? And his dad said yes.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true. Poor old dad, if that is true. Well, poor old dad, I don't know.
Naive old dad.
Yeah. Do The Cure sound like children?
No, emphatically not.
That seems like an odd choice, doesn't it, as well? Like, you know, maybe Busted or whatever was around might have been
Busted and The Cure were not around at the same time.
I just mean that if you pick a band that sounds a bit more like children singing, if you're going to try and pass yourself off as a child genius.
Yeah, or something a bit raw, you know, something that could legitimately sound like a demo. The Cure are like very, very produced. Strange.
Yeah, Mbop by The Cure.
So yeah, the point is whether or not is this fantasist or this guy who seems a bit like a fantasist, Eric Alonso, who's going to be getting hold of Derby County or not. The fact that they may or may not be facing a points deduction.
And may or may not be one of those big teams in League One that we were just talking about.
Exactly.
A minute ago.
You've got to understand it from Wickham's point of view as well, because, I mean, you know, the advantage Derby had was this season. So punishing them next season does seem kind of illogical.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also Sheffield Wednesday, of course, 6 points deducted. They would have been 3 points ahead if they hadn't had those points deducted. They wouldn't have gone down either.
Yeah, it's all a big mess.
It's a massive mess. And yeah, we'll continue to follow it and deploy our knowledge of amortisation at regular intervals. But sorry, Derby County fans, that you were involved in kind of a shitstorm like so many people seem to have been and seem to continue to be. Southampton played last night. They beat Crystal Palace despite going 1-0 down after 2 minutes, thanks to Christian Benteke. Danny Ings with two after 3 weeks out. Get him on the play, on the bus.
Barge, was it? Just get him. Just ask him if he's busy. So clear your diary. We'd like you to play for England, please.
I think he'd be very heroic in a Jabba's sail barge scenario in the Empire, not the Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I could see him dressed covertly as like one of Jabba's guards with one of them big sticks and then taking it off to reveal his Southampton shirt.
Cool head. Needs a cool head. Are we falling into the trap of now there's 26 squad places available?
Yes, we want them
picking
all...
everyone, yeah. Just picking every good England player.
Well, because if you've listened to Lions Watch, which you should, the excellent Lions Watch of the weekend, it is always a difficulty, isn't it? And this is something you kind of happen upon when you come to the team of the season sort of time that we're coming to at the moment as well. The fact that however long you spend picking it, you'll have left out someone really obvious.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, someone's really obvious in terms of a lot of pundits picking their England squad at the moment is always Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's the really obvious one. That,
just because he's not here.
Yeah, exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, Danny Ings, 2 shots, 2 goals. Do we not need that at the Euros?
Yeah. And he had a little injury break. Yeah. Which,
keep him fresh.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why he came off before he could complete his hat-trick. I really like the Shea Adams goal as well. He was not even on the
lovely.
Pitch, really.
Yeah, that was brilliant. It was a good game, wasn't it? It's actually, more than the other game last night, this made me sort of excited for fans to come back because, you know, there is, you know, realistically not very much riding on a game like this at this point of the season. It's not of much interest to the neutral outside, you know, it's just one for the fans of those clubs. But it was a really, really good game. And there's obviously quality throughout the Premier League. You are going to get good kind of pulsating games like that. Maybe pulsating is a little bit kind, but it was a really good game.
It was enjoyable.
It was
enjoyable.
Yeah, it was
goals,
fun.
Under the lights.
Yeah, it's just like
Christian Benteke writing his CV on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to get that contract, isn't he?
Oh, he did miss quite a lot of other chances.
He will, but you know, it's a good, very good goal. I mean, the miss kick was a big part of it that he seemed to get away with in all the kind of analysis of it. But, you know, it's the whole package
you get him.
Yeah.
Well, that race for 13th is still very much alive now that all of the other races seem to be complete. And if you want to follow, you know, stories like these, the new Amazon series When Eagles Dare is out next month about Palace's rise from financial disaster in 2010 to promotion 3 years later. Hodgson says he wouldn't have had them in.
I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it, to think that a film about a team that finishes in the middle of the Premier League every season sounds like an Andy McNab novel.
Well, Spurs got a documentary, didn't they?
True. Very true.
So basically, it's going to be
Lily
based
White's
around...
Dare.
It's going to be based around the personality of Roy Hodgson, is what you're saying.
I think not. I think not.
So much owl chat today.
He's so he says he doesn't seem to think he's great on camera, and neither does his wife.
Yeah, because he did one when he was in charge of Switzerland, didn't he? And he said he really didn't enjoy it, and he felt it was like a huge mistake. But at the same time, he also said he'd never actually watched it. So
right. So he just
probably
felt
wasn't that bad
during it, or it could have been worse, but he just doesn't know because he never watched it.
Who knows? Not Roy, apparently.
Oh well. Anyway, so yeah, 3-1, the final score in that one. Nice one, Southampton. Good to give them a bit of credit on the ramble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right in, Southampton fans. tonight, more football for you. Chelsea go up against Arsenal in that hot, hot race for the top four. Not for Arsenal, obviously, they're not involved. just a reminder that if you enjoyed today's show, you can get much, much more from us over on the Patreon. Bonus episodes, ad-free shows, and a live-streamed Luke's Game with our listeners, which is going to be happening later this week. Get over to patreon.com/footballramble.
That was unreal last time.
Brass. Yeah, I didn't. You were involved. Were you back? Did you get taken down?
No, I was just watching.
All right. Just feeding people the answers. And still, we lost to the listener.
It was Marcus, wasn't it? It was Marcus.
And he got...
He lost. He got done over. Yeah. Got gubbed.
So all of those people who constantly tweet us saying that they could do better than us at Luke's Game are actually...
Oh, right.
Maybe.
It was a Paddy from the Patreon smackdown.
It was.
Oh, good job, Paddy. Is that the same? Is that your friend as well?
Different Paddies.
Right. Good shout out to all Paddies today. On tomorrow's show, Jules, Andy and Annie back in the building. Luke will be here, fresh from the jab. See you then, Brass. Thanks for a lovely morning.
Well, I won't see you then. I mean, that's how
well,
it works.
Well, hear you there. I listen. I prefer it more when you just talk and I'm not in the room, actually. I've realised.
Thank you for that testimonial.
Join us again for some fascinating Brussels chat. No gym tomorrow, but we had a lovely time today, didn't
we? Yeah, we did. Come back tomorrow anyway.
And thank you for being with us, dear listeners. See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.